Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on President's Address to the Nation on the eve of Republic Day. The participants are K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Sarabjeet Kaur, anchor.
Good evening, listeners. Honorable President of India, Srimati Draupadi Murmu, addressed the nation on the eve of 76th Republic Day. In her address, President Murmu touched on a variety of aspects of the country, dwelling upon India's growth story, and began her speech by paying rich tributes to stalwarts like Bhagwan Birsa Munda, Mahatma Gandhi, Rabindranath Tagore, Baba Saheb Ambedkar, Sarojini Naidu, Rajkumari Amrit Kaur, Sucheta Kriplani, Hansa Ben Mehta, and Malti Chaudhary. To dwell on the address of Honorable President of India, Srimati Draupadi Murmu, today we have in our studios Professor K.G. Suresh, political analyst. Mr. Suresh, we welcome you in our studios today.
Thank you.
Honorable President Draupadi Murmu spoke about inclusive growth and equitable distribution of fruits of development, and also how the various sectors have contributed to the growth and prosperity of the country, scripting India's story of self-sufficiency.
In the recent years, the economic growth rate has remained persistently high, creating job opportunities for our youth, putting more money in the hands of farmers and laborers, and also lifting more people out of poverty. The bold and far-sighted economic reforms will sustain this trend in the years to come. Inclusion is the cornerstone of our growth saga, distributing the fruits of developments as widely as possible.
Mr. Suresh, in your view, how have the various sectors of the economy performed in the last decade, with special reference to the farming sector, infrastructure and manufacturing sector?
Absolutely. If you listen to the Honorable President's address today, I think that it's a historic address where she has taken us back to recalling the colonial past and how we overcame all that, and particularly the role of our freedom fighters, the stalwarts,
right,
including women,
yes,
you know, who played a very important role in shaping our constitution. And also, she went a step ahead and how several steps have been taken for inclusive growth.
Yes.
And also taking us towards the Prime Minister's vision of Vikasit Bharat. That means massive developments in the infrastructure sector, whether it is, you know, the highways, the railways, and also in terms of the education sector, ensuring that fruits of development reaches the last man. So I think that this gave us the entire canvas of our journey over the last 75 years and the efforts being made to make us a developed country.
Mr. Suresh, you just spoke about infrastructural development. In your view, how does this focus on infrastructure development, roads, railways, logistics hubs, will give a push to the India growth story in the near future?
You see, we have had developments in the last 75 years, but the big infra push that has been given has connected even the remotest villages, the most backward regions of the country, to the national mainstream. Because unless the infrastructure is there, you can't have industrialization, you can't have development in the real sense of the term. So in terms of logistics, in terms of manufacturing, we were a services-oriented economy. The entire focus is now to make India a manufacturing hub. And that's why we have schemes like Make in India. We have Startup India.
There's been a call for vocal for local.
Yes. So the Swadeshi concept, you know, which has been under the Make in India scheme, whether it is defense equipment, very critical. Otherwise, we used to import most of the, we were just exporting raw material.
Correct.
And today we are exporting finished products. We are also looking at our civilization. We are also strengthening our civilizational roots that also the Honorable President referred to, wherein we are nurturing our languages. We have declared many of our languages as classical.
Right.
We are promoting languages. We are also promoting civilizational values. For example, the Archaeological Experiential Museum in Vadnagar of Gujarat. Similarly, while our roots are strong, we are also progressing. We are also making rapid strides whether it is railways, whether it is education, the number of universities that have come up. There is a lot of focus on skilling. There is a lot of focus on vocationalization of education. The whole idea is to empower each and every Indian.
Mr. Suresh, you just mentioned about, giving the right kind of attention to sectors or regions which have not got what they deserved, or the marginalized sections of society. So, very interestingly, the Constitution opens with "We the people of India." At the outset itself, there is a spirit of inclusivity. In fact, President Murmu spoke at length about this today, about the concept of growth for everyone. If you could very briefly dwell on this concept.
Yes, absolutely. Because you see, when we talk about "we the people of India," we are not referring to any specific segment.
Correct.
We have been victims of colonialism. And when we had our constitution led by the architect of our constitution, Baba Saheb Ambedkar, we spoke about justice, liberty, equality and fraternity. And we believe that they are not theoretical concepts, but they have been part of our civilizational heritage, where we talked about Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam,
Correct.
The entire universe as part of us. So inclusivity came naturally to us. And that is why, whether it is in terms of positive affirmations like a reservation system, or now inclusive initiatives such as the Jan Dhan Yojana that has been created, the Ujjwala Yojana, the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana, to ensure that even the rural areas are able to take the benefits of our growth, and the digital payments, for example. And then you have the Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana, the Pradhan Mantri Suraksha Bima Yojana, the Mudra Yojana, the Atal Pension Yojana. These are all, at the end of the day, aimed at ensuring that nobody is deprived. Even the Honorable President, she also talked about how we have now created the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita as against the colonial, Indian Penal Code, which was there, and also the replacement for the Indian Evidence Act and the Criminal Procedure Code. There, she said something very important. She said that in the colonial era, at the center was the punishment.
Yes.
Whereas today, the focus is on delivering justice.
Yes.
So that is the key word today.
That's right. Reminiscing Mahatma Gandhi's words that rights and duties are the two sides of the same coin, time to give back to the environment from which we almost take our sustenance. In fact, the Honorable President Srimati Draupadi Murmu also said that the threat to the climate change must be countered both at the micro and macro level.
Each of us must contribute to the efforts to counter the global threats of climate change. There have been two exemplary initiatives in this regard. At the global level, India is leading a mass movement called Mission Lifestyle for Environment to inspire individuals and communities to be more proactive in protecting and preserving the environment. Last year, on World Environment Day, we launched a unique campaign, Ek Ped Maa Ke Naam, paying tribute to the nurturing power of our mothers, as well as of Mother Nature.
Mr. Suresh, if you could throw some light on this.
Absolutely. India has been playing a very important role, and given the fact that we have the largest population in the world, we have been playing a major role at the global platforms also with regard to environment. And the president referred to two particular initiatives, which included India leading the mass movement called Mission Lifestyle for Environment to inspire individuals and communities to be more active in protecting and preserving the environment. And also, she recalled that how, we launched on the last World Environment Day, Ek Ped Maa Ke Naam, that is a tree in the name of our
to your mother.
As a tribute to your mother. So, paying tribute to the nurturing power, not only of our mothers, but also Mother Nature.
That's right.
And I think that we have already planted 80 crore seedlings, which we have achieved ahead of the deadline. And she said that, the world can look at this as a role model of how, ordinary citizen can be involved and turned it into a mass movement.
Mr. Suresh, today the country has made strides in science and technology, rather huge strides in science and technology, be it intellectual property filings, artificial intelligence, the Genome India Project. President Murmu made a special reference to this in her address to the nation.
With rising self-assurance, we are increasing our participation in cutting-edge research with a series of initiatives. The National Quantum Mission aims to create a vibrant and innovative ecosystem in this new frontier of technology. Another noteworthy beginning is with the National Mission on Interdisciplinary Cyber Physical System, which plans to focus on several advanced technologies, including artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, and cyber security. These technologies were called futuristic till recently, but they are fast becoming part of our daily lives.
Mr. Suresh, in your view, what could be the futuristic picture of the scientific India?
Well, I think that I still remember long time back when we had sent our first satellite. One of the famous cartoons of that time was the satellite being carried on a bullock cart. So our society has been able to grow on the path of modernity while retaining our traditions, maintaining our traditions, our heritage. And that is what the focus is today about. Even as we grow scientifically, the education system today is talking about the strengthening the Indian knowledge system. We had a long history of scientific mindset, scientific attitude in our society for centuries. And the Constitution also emphasizes on inculcating a scientific temperament among the masses of this country.
In fact, Mr. Suresh, India has been a reservoir of knowledge from times immemorial. Youth is the hope of the future. Education is the most powerful weapon which one can use to change the world. President Murmu today mentioned about the enhanced allocation of funds in this direction.
It is after all our young generation that is going to save the India of tomorrow. Education, in turn, saves these young minds. Therefore, the government has increased its investment in education and made every effort to improve every parameter related to this sector. The results so far are more than encouraging. The last decade has transformed education in terms of quality of learning and physical infrastructure and digital inclusion.
Mr. Suresh, if you could elaborate on how the youth and education play a significant role in the growth of the country.
Yeah, obviously the Honorable President had referred to the youth and especially the young women as our future. And she said that their dreams are molding the India of tomorrow. So she is very hopeful, she is very optimistic, and she has at the same time insisted on value system. Even as a lot of initiatives have been taken to involve the youth in the growth of the country, and sports also is one arena where a lot of youth are being promoted like never before. And whether even in Paralympics, our youngsters performed like anything. And the Honorable President also referred to our victories. So I think that this emphasis has been clearly reflected in the Honorable President's address.
Mr. Suresh, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time and joining us for discussions and sharing your valuable thoughts with our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on President's Address to the Nation on the eve of Republic Day. The participants were K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Sarabjeet Kaur, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.